This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus release by warming your synapses with rejuvenates from radio waves and not turning down the feed while we're doing the intro. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sinful estatism out of your head. Can you feel it, Randy and James?
Feeling it.
I felt it. I felt the feed fall right out from underneath you. And, you know, I thought, golly, I thought he started in time with that intro, but apparently not. So nobody told you.
I think the board made the bottom fall out of that intro. But anyways, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a PIPCOT, no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors like Bill Pullman. Or no, we're moving on to different ones now. Daniel Day-Lewis. You can learn more at PIPCOT.org.
So, Jim, next time you just have to talk faster.
Yeah. I could do it. If I keep this up, I could probably be an auctioneer, but I could only say the Freedom Fiends intro. Michael Dean going once, Michael Dean going twice. What is this?
It's a Freedom Fiends. Everything's the Freedom Fiends. Everything you're auctioned off.
Next, we have a beautiful Michael Dean, starting out at 100, 100, out of 100, 200. Okay. So, should we talk about the Battle of Berkeley? I know we were kind of talking off air before the show started about this. Sure. Because that's what everybody's talking about right now is the spread of Epic Stickman. what the deal is with this.
And since I missed the Battle of Berkeley because my family was in town over the weekend, you can explain the whole thing so everyone will know what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, so we need to wind back the clock a few months when Milo was still a thing. Milo Yiannopoulos. Because now he's not a thing. But back when he was a thing, he was going to do allegedly. Where's your app? It's only legally binding if you use it with Pocket Alibi. Google Play Store now.
Give me 2 seconds here.
Allegedly.
There we go. So Milo Yiannopoulos was going to speak at UC Berkeley about cultural appropriation, but before he could, a bunch of people from Antifa and I don't think any of these people were from the campus. I think they came onto the campus from the city to stop this, and they started like rioting and causing fires and throwing trash cans, and the thing with trash cans is amazes me, smashing windows, all that sort of stuff, and they canceled the event and they hurried Milo out of there, and it made national news. And in response to it, now a lot of the people who are kind of like the coalition of the right, just not just the alt-right, but there's like the alt-right, there's the new modern populist, Trump supporters, that whole kind, nationalists,
the straight up neo-Nazis.
Yeah, they were there too, for sure. Started to do a free speech march, which they wanted to show kind of that they favor free speech, even if they don't agree with that. And Antifa, in their usual fashions, decided to try to stop them, and it didn't actually work out too well for Antifa this time around. I guess one of the first things that happened is they threw a smoke bomb towards.
Well, I think you're burying the lead here.
Oh, okay. Am I bearing the lead?
You're bearing the lead as to why it didn't go over so well. Something happened in between then and now.
Okay, so what happened? I guess...
Bay's stick man that changed the game on these kind of things.
Okay, so yeah. In the interim, there was another... Was it still at Berkeley? Was that the same?
I'm not sure where that was.
Actually. Yeah. Another like Trump rally at another campus or possibly Berkeley. I can't recall. I have to Google it. Maybe you should Google it while I'm talking about it. And there was a guy who showed up in kind of like makeshift riot gear, to say the least. Like, he even had a wooden shield and a stick. Yeah. And there's videos of him like whacking like these commies over the head with a stick and breaking the stick. Was
it, is this recent? Is this recent?
Yes, yeah. That was recent.
Are there still are there still people rallying for Trump? Really,
it was Berkeley.
Is that happening?
Yeah, there's still people rallying for Trump. Well, they're just rallying for, you know, alt-right stuff. Yeah, it's not really just Trump rallies. These aren't Trump rallies, really. This is like, yeah, they're trying to pick fights, is what this is. This is all trying to pick fights. All of this is them. It's not a Trump rally. It's a trying to pick fights rally.
Because they know that Antifa will show up.
They know that Antifa will show up. They know, you know, so they show up with their, like Bay Stickman did, with their, you know, helmet on, their stick. They got, you know, their bicycle pads on. Like, they're totally LARPing is what they're doing. That's all they're doing is they're LARPing. Yeah. And so you have these people. People that both Antifa and the alt-right are just LARPing.
Both LARPing, yeah.
They're just LARPing right now. That's all they're doing.
But one of the things that was really
hilarious to watch.
Yeah, there was on the Antifa side, there was this girl. She's pretty cute. I mean, like, I dig on things like dreadlocks and tattoos and all that stuff, but the hairy stuff, gross.
Yeah, you looked her up too, huh?
Yeah, if she would... You know, if she would use a razor, she would be very, very awesome. But yeah, it's pretty gross. Anyways, she showed up and she was trying to get in on the riot as well and try to hit some Nazis. She posted something on Facebook saying that she was going to collect a 100 Nazi scalps.
Well, she's just quoting that. I can't say the title of the movie on the radio.
Inglorious.
Yeah, Inglorious.
Maybe we could ask the board op, because it's all about context when it comes to that word.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, let's just not risk it.
Go for it? Yeah. Okay, so Inglorious Bastards, which is a film by Quentin Tarantino. Right. So, anyways, yeah.
I think they're spelled with an E.
Yeah, they spelled it a little bit different. So that makes it okay.
Yeah, it's a different
word.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so she was quoting that movie.
Okay.
That was a line from that movie.
And I guess she tried to get in on the fight, and then there was... Well, I think they actually found out who he was. Did you watch the video?
I watched the video, and, like, she was just, like, standing at the sidelines doing, like, a little back-and-forth dance. Like, she was, like, trying to, like, get up the courage to jump into the thing, and this guy just comes out of nowhere and wrecks her. Like, she wasn't, like, just even...
clocks her right in the face, yeah.
She was, like, standing on the sidelines, like, trying to get up. It was funny, because you could see, you could watch her, and she's, like, she's trying to get the courage to jump into it, but she doesn't quite have the courage, and she's like, yeah. Oh, come on. She's like trying to psych herself into jumping into all of this, and here this guy comes out of nowhere, just tags her right in the face.
Yeah, I mean, funny.
But it's funny that, you know, this guy, this big, you know, big neo-Nazi guy is gonna target this, you know, this gal, who's obviously a woman. I mean, her face mask had kind of come off. She was kind of like trying to show everybody who she is, which is weird as far as Antifa goes.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like it was hidden that she was a woman. Here this guy is targeting this woman trying to be the big, strong guy. He was just trying to get something in there.
Yeah, but it was pretty brawly anyway. Like, everybody was throwing blows all around him, and it's just like, why not us? let me start. I hate the whole thing on one hand, but at the other hand, I just can't help but watch and just be entertained by everybody's stupidity at the same time. I don't know. Maybe just a little Schadenfreude in there. But.
And what was the connection with the Milo thing from months before?
This was kind of like what sparked a lot of the stuff on Berkeley, which got everybody starting to
for learn.
Antifa to show up,
and
for the populace to start provoking them with LARPing. Mm-hmm. Big spec guy.
Yeah, it's pretty much what happened is that you have you have Antifa show up at Berkeley, and now the alt-right just keeps coming up with excuses to come up and go LARPing. All right, we're going to have a LARPing rally today, and Antifa shows up. You know,
the funny thing was,
there's no real reason for any of it. It's just they want to fight. Alt-right wants to fight Antifa, and they know Antifa will show up the minute they all get together and start saying they're an alt-right rally, and Antifa's going to show up. And they know that there's going to be a fight, because they're looking for a fight.
Does Antifa ever show up on their own and maybe hope that the alt-right will come out?
No.
They show up where they
show up when the alt-right show up.
Oh, they only respond then.
Yeah.
They're just reactionaries.
Yeah, they're...
Which is ironic, really, you calling them a reactionary.
That is kind of ironic. But, yeah, they are. They do react to the alt-right showing up.
Yeah.
So they're reactionaries to reactionaries show up. They're reactionary to reactionaries. Yeah. But yeah,
they're both a mess. They're both a mess.
It's just a huge mess.
They're like college age kids. Most of them are vegan and super scrawny. That had probably never had a fight in their life. Showing up and thinking that they could brawl with like normies, it's not going to happen. And a lot of these people you see at these Trump rallies, a lot of them are into like fitness and stuff or mixed martial arts. And I mean, the dude that punched that woman looked like he knew how to throw a blow. That was not like, oh, this is my first time getting in a fight punch. That was expertise. showing a little bit of expertise on that punch.
Now the left, of course, the Antifa, of course, are playing the reactionaries in this. But you're saying that the customary reactionaries are on the right, the alt-right. But are the... Do you see the alt-right? Is there a connection there between that and what the bunch that calls themselves neo-reactionaries?
That's pretty much all the same kind of thing.
The neo-reactionaries was kind of like the precursor to the alt-right. Like it was dark enlightenment neo-reactionary became popular enough, and then people started talking more about what is it, race realism, and that kind of gave birth to the whole alt-right umbrella.
Yeah, and that had been around for a number of years before anybody heard of Donald Trump running for anything.
I was outspoken
about it for a while. Like I saw that one coming. I was like, oh no, this is going to be the problem. Like everybody was talking about SJWs. I was like, we have a fire over here. But yeah, no one saw it.
No
too busy battling the other fire. Yeah,
no, they're too busy battling a tiny fire. They got their back 40 on fire and they're worried about the campfire.
Yeah, they're worried about the campfire, not the grease fire. More when we come back from the market.
Worms.
More LARPing.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
So I think we came up with the solution. I think we came up with the solution to the Battle of Berkeley. And that is not to side with either of them. Yeah, we're not going to side with either of them. But if everybody's going to start LARPing, and that's going to be the new thing politically,
like how political LARPing.
Yeah, political LARPing. I think that we've came up with our own LARPing. We should dress like medieval warriors. Mm-hmm. We'll call ourselves the Fiend Dynasty, and we'll wear the Bipcot colors, which is like UN blue and white. And show up, you know, like as wizards and knights.
And we're gonna, we're gonna go full Renaissance festival attire. With our quarter staffs and our swords wrapped in foam padding so we make sure not to hurt anybody.
And our pewter mugs.
And our pewter mugs.
And just start throwing sticks.
And we're going to start throwing thunderbolts at people. Go, thunderbolt!
Fall thunderbolts, right?
And we'll just we'll make fun of them until they stop. Yeah. Also, we might have a little bit of fun. Because that's really all they're doing. What they're doing. They're just LARPing. They're pretending to have their little war. They're pretending to, you know, but. But really, I was thinking about this, you know, where back into serious mode a little bit, I guess. But like Antifa is like, because like you were saying before the last segment there, the, you know, alt-rights, they're the big fire, and we've been all worried about the small fire.
Yeah,
but I was thinking of it as an analogy of the human body. And like the alt-right's an infection, and they're coming, and they got us very infected. And then you have Antifa, which are like they're like the fever, you know, coming to try and take out the infection that's in there. But you got to be very careful with a fever because it kills everything indiscriminately, and if it gets too big, it can kill you too. But what is they're doing is trying to take care of the infection problem we have there. And that's kind of where I was looking. They're not really so much a problem as they are a symptom of the greater problem, which is that we have this you know, neo-reactionary white nationalist alt-right movement that's growing very fast in America.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a big problem. I don't know. It seems like it's kind of dying off a little bit now that Trump has attacked Syria, and a lot of the alt-righters are like, whoa, we were wrong. And especially maybe the libertarian ones.
Which were never alt-righters to begin with, really.
Yeah, they just kind of supported Trump or in one way or another. There's some ethno-nationalists that are anarchists. Whatever, who left and thought that in order for us to get to anarcho-capitalism, we have to go through the pinhole of fascism. It's like,
that was national anarchism has been a thing for a while.
Yeah, but the pinhole fascism thing, it's like, well, if we just wanted that kind of fascism, we could have just elected Hillary Clinton, because that's not the fascism you were promising, and we're not in Ancapistan yet, are we?
No.
I don't think we're any closer either. No. So basically, Trump just turned into Hillary Clinton, but with relatively better Supreme Court picks. That's about it. So far, that seems like the. Oh, and their press secretary is out hilariously retarded. Am I allowed to say retarded on air? I guess. I don't want a letter from Sarah Palin, but. Yeah, that's about it. So a lot of these like libertarian ones, the people that are part of the libertarian wing of the alt-right are now coming back going like, okay, we were wrong, sorry. And a lot of people are saying like, don't rub their nose in it. Like, no.
No, you gotta rub their nose in it.
You got to rub your nose a little bit in the mess. Don't keep smashing their face into it over and over again. But, you know, in order to teach a dog not to, you know, go where it eats, you have to rub their nose in it. Sorry, you got to rub their nose in it. It's like, see, you were sitting there telling me this whole time you can't vote yourself into prosperity or vote yourself liberty, and here you are voting for Donald Trump thinking that I was an idiot when I was telling you the other way, and here you are back at it, back here again. I hope you learned your lesson.
How many do you think actually, you know, believed in Donald Trump? I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for any of them, but he said things He said a lot of things that you heard that and said, well, that wouldn't be bad, like not bombing Syria and some things like that.
Yeah.
But once it, you know, he got in there, you just kind of crossed your fingers and you knew it was, you know, probably 3-1 odds that he was just lying. And then, of course, it turned out that he was just a liar. Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When this final element issues, it's not good that you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. If a real true fiend fan, gotta collect them all.
So James, I don't know if you know this or not, but I heard from the grapevine that our friend Randy here is a lawyer. I was thinking, for the first time on The Fiend since, what, a year and a half, 2 years, we should probably ask him some legal questions.
Let's figure that out. Let's get some legal advice.
I think we're done squandering Randy every time he's on. Like, hey, welcome to The Fiends. Let's play Libertarians Against Humanity.
There's really no need for it because I do it all day long, and you know, it's okay to have a break. You know, it's kind of bad to, you know, kind of just have a shtick. I mean, yeah, James Weeks, he strips off at the Libertarian Convention, and so, you know, we got him in a hole already. We don't need to know anything else. and Jim, you know, Jim, for some reason, he gets to do anything he wants, but, you know.
I'm the chaos element.
Randy's, you know, chief counsel for the Freedom Fiends, and as everyone knows, you don't want to call a lawyer unless you have to. So don't worry about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's good to have a break every once in a while, but your break's been about 2 years. Break's over. So what, I mean, legally, because you work with, I'm sure you've kind of worked with people who've done activism before, right?
Sure.
Okay. So what do you think would be like the legal implications of someone like another Epic-based state guy? I mean, we already learned what happened to him, but in an event where there's fights going on and firecrackers being shot at one another and smoke bombs being thrown at each other and punches being thrown, what would you expect, like, legally from these people? I don't think they were breaking windows at this one. I don't think. Yeah, this wasn't Black Bloc. This was just Antifa. So what would, like, let's say that I threw a punch and hit a girl in the face. What would be my legal, would it be even worse or
you mean
more?
Like, because would you be charged with this? Would you? Yeah. Be charged with assault? You know,
middle of a brawl.
Yeah, and it depended on where you were. You could end up being charged with trespassing if you were in a place where you weren't allowed to be and they told you to leave, you didn't leave. Well, you'd have that. And there are places that they like to kick charges up, and where they have a crime, you know, that they call rioting or something, which apparently is going to be worse because you don't have to actually assault anyone or break anything. I think you just have to be part of it. Depends on that. I've never seen anyone charged with rioting, but then I'm from here in mid-Missouri. I used to be a prosecutor. I was one for a long time and never charged anybody with rioting, but charged a lot lot of the salt, and disturbing the peace can happen. And you are, you know, you get too rowdy and that sort of thing. So yeah, anything can, you know, you don't have any right to, you know, go out and riot. You know, what's the word? Not even in a, you know, in a public place, if other people are going to be not just hurt, but you know, if you're out screaming and yelling, you know, in front of my house, I guess you're, you know, maybe I don't know if I call the cops or not. I'd be too afraid they'd shoot me or my dog. But
they would just come up and shoot your dog and be like, okay, what'd you need?
What's the problem? Theoretically, I could call them and you know, get them to come out. Actually, my next door neighbor's a cop, so I could just, you know, call him. He wouldn't shoot me, I don't think. You know, unless
until you saw the dog, of course, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Kill the dog. It's hard to break, you know, the training that, you know,
he comes over for a beer and just shoots your dog. But sorry, have it.
Well, you know, it's on the you went into the academy the first day, and they're on the blackboard. It says first thing you do, shoot the dog. You know, so it's hard to break that. And you know, you could be a really nice guy, you know, but to just drop your training like that and forget everything you were taught is hard.
So really what I'm hearing is that the alt-right and Antifa should probably, instead of doing this like at Berkeley, should probably find like a farmer with a field and rent it from him. And like, you know, maybe set up some campgrounds. They can make it like a couple day event. Like they could have like their tents pitched on either side of the room with their flags, and they can call it quits once one other side captures the other one's flag. You know, that's really
that's kind of what
I'm hearing. What the alt-right and Antifa should do is they should actually
how about we just go to the Ren Fair. How about we just go to the Ren Fair and just call it a day? Giant legs of turkey and artichoke hearts. Let's do it.
Well, you could. They'd have much cooler costumes too. I'm sure if they actually made a go at it and made this like an actual like big event where, you know, they look forward to it all year long. Here's the big LARP event where all the Antifa and all the alt-right come and meet up in this field and go play capture the flag. You know, I mean, they could come up with some really cool costumes.
Yeah, see, but the flag's already designed. It's it says he will not divide us on a white flag.
He will not divide us.
Yeah.
He will not divide us. He will not divide us. He will not divide us.
They're already kind of doing, they're already playing capture the flag. Why not just do it formally?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why not do it formally? I mean, why not? Why not actually have a real capture the flag game? And, you know, they can beat up on each other all they want in this farmer's field. They don't have to risk the trespass. They don't have to risk the riot thing. I mean, this is all, you know, on private property. They're doing their own thing, whatever. Now, what would be the legal implications of that if they would meet up to go beat each other up on private property instead of just going to, like, Berkeley or something?
Well, you know, there are some rules about mutual combat, and I think they're different in different places. I think some places you could get away with some of that and some places not. Usually, though, it comes down to an argument about, you know, people are just exactly the same way countries are. You always want to somehow make it look like the other guy threw the first punch or dropped the first bomb. I mean, Lincoln really needed to have the South fire on Fort Sumter, right? You know, he hit me first. And it's the same thing in a prosecutors are faced always with trying to figure out who to charge in a bar fight, because it never starts with a punch. It starts with probably some insult or perceived insult where somebody just said or did something that was short of actual physical harm or even threat, and you can't figure out who started it, so you don't know where to go. Of course, sometimes they just end up and start charging everybody. And the police are happy to arrest everybody, and then the prosecutors are left with the mess of who they're going to charge. And sometimes they don't get anybody in the end. You know, it's kind of hard to sort that sort of thing out. And a riot would be just the that full blown. You know, you get into the middle of a riot situation, and the, probably the only people end up getting charged would be the one that was dumb enough to do what they did in front of a camera. And then, you know, there would be no real context. You just see somebody throwing a punch, and you say, we'll get that guy. That would be it. You don't know what happened to him ahead of that. Yeah.
So what would be the legal implications, at least, if, or something that we should be worried about or keeping an eye on or try to avoid or whatever? If, let's say, me and James showed up at Berkeley, not for Antifa or the nationalists, but we just showed up dressed like mages and and warlocks and wizards and stuff, and we're throwing like little foam, sticks, and obviously, you know, like things that are supposed to mitigate pain when hit, and LARPing against people.
So what to worry about besides a 72-hour commitment, you mean?
Yeah, from a legal standpoint. I can make the commitment, okay? Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, done it before, I can do it again.
I've been to enough Ren fairs, I can talk like these people for a day. It'll be worth it.
I was talking about a mental health commitment, but never mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the thing that strikes me as you know, silly, and I've done it myself, is that when you have two groups that are kind of at odds, you know, at least half the people or more are not on either side. They're spectators. I mean, look who got shot at Kent State. Wasn't even, yeah. You know, some of them were just students on their way to class. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people come out. When I was in college, way back when, you know, we had Vietnam War protests. And, you know, whether you knew about the thing and wanted to go to it and be involved, when you walked by on your way to class, you go, hey, wow, look, a show. And you blow the class off and go over and join the show and yell with everybody in that. And you don't even, you know, if bullets start flying or whatever else things are happening, you're liable to get hit and caught in it. And that may be the, you know, the worst thing that happened. And of course, if you scare the police or scare the National Guard, then, you get shot. It's happened.
And one of these things could not scare them.
Don't scare the police or the National Guard, because they're probably a lot better armed than the opposing, you know, group that you're out against. They're a lot more dangerous.
I think they would have just ended up looking at us and been like, okay, I see what they're doing. That's kind of funny.
I think they understand it.
Weird sticks, yeah. Or maybe they'd make them like, look at themselves like, is this what we've come to? We're just IRL LARPers.
And then they all just go home. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Everyone just bags up and goes home. Yeah. Just realize they're LARPing.
And the cops come up to us and be like, we could use a few people like you on the force. I'm like, no. Nope.
Thunderbolt.
Well, they're the enemy too.
Now, what would be the implications of doing that, throwing a foam, a foam stick at the police?
They would consider it assault and throw you in jail. You don't need a lawyer for that one.
Yeah, go 15 to 20 years in jail, assault on an officer.
You know, to say an assault on an officer, who was, there was somebody that was charged with an assault on an officer by putting too much salt on their food.
Yep.
What?
That's another thing you have to be careful of. There are things that you could never get charged with assault for if you did it to anybody except a cop. So if you hit a cop with a foam sword, yeah. But if you hit your neighbor with it, no.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, What are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Row, row, row. Row, row, row. Row, row, row. Row, row, row.
Freedom Fiends.
Lightning bolt.
This is the Lightning Bolt Fiends broadcast.
The Fiend Dynasty.
High taking on the financial cops. Beast blast. Taking on the cops with thunderbolts in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except government.
This is still the end of it. You should have saved that for the top of the next hour.
We'll do that again at the top of the hour.
It's just too funny.
So what do you think is going to be like what do you think the end game is going to be for all these Berkeley type fightings going on? Do you think it's going to escalate, or do you think these guys are too wussy to actually someone to start bringing the gun to the airsoft fight?
The gun to the airsoft fight?
Yeah, because there was our airsoft guns being used sometimes.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. Why they're doing it? I can't imagine what the point is. I mean, neither side holds political power at this point. So, what are they fighting about? Oh, Trump is becoming just Mr. Trump Establishment neocon.
Trump isn't really
totally sold out.
What? I wouldn't include Trump as in the alt-right.
No, I don't think
the alt-right. No. The alt-right latched on to Trump.
Right.
Yeah. And I think
a lot of these people aren't alt-right. A lot of them are just kind of nationalist or Trump supporters. So,
I guess not all of them are alt-righty.
Some libertarians latched on to him. To their shame,
a lot of people did.
Letting go now.
Trump could be latched on to by just about anybody. And there's anybody could really latch on to Trump and be like, "Hey, I can agree with this because he didn't say really anything. He really never did. When he spoke, he spoke very, you know, he didn't really, no content. So you were able to put your own words in between his and make him say whatever you wanted him to say. That's why you have, exactly. You have the alt-right that are talking about, oh, Trump's embracing white nationalism. He's going to make America a white-only, Christian-only nation, just like our forefathers, blah, 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 because they also put that on the forefathers, too. And, you know, then you have just your regular people. Oh, he's just going to get rid of keep the illegal immigration out. And he's going to, you have different people that heard different things from what he was saying because he didn't really say enough. He said,
and when he did say things, he would contradict it. Yeah. He would contradict it later.
Yeah. And they, and as far as the real racist latching onto him, I never did really notice him saying anything that you would consider racist except toward probably Mexicans in the southern border.
Yeah.
Because the wall seemed to be directed straight at them. But, as hard as I could pay attention to him, and sometimes it wasn't maybe as hard as it might have been, but I never picked up anything that that sounded like a prejudice against blacks or really anyone else except maybe Hispanics because of the wall thing.
Yeah.
Yes. So how the alt-right just embraced him over just the wall thing, I don't really get it.
Yeah.
But
there were some things that he said that sounded pretty bad, but I think at the end of the day, what it really was just him speaking before thinking. Like he had an idea of what he wanted to say, and he just blurted something out, and it just sounded terrible. Like when he was talking about like the rape with people coming across the border, they're rapists, they're thieves, and some are good people, I guess. I think that was just really just poorly worded thing just to say, like, yeah, there's people across the border who are criminals, but it didn't come out that way. It came out very gross. Yeah, so a lot of people kind of jumped on that for that, I guess.
They shouldn't have believed it.
Nope.
I mean, seriously, having to believe a guy who's running for president to believe anything The guy says, you got to be a fool if you've watched more than two or three elections. I mean, come on. I mean, how gullible can you get?
And the anti-Semite thing always, it makes me laugh, because it's like, why if you're an anti-Semite, would you support Trump, who insisted his daughter marry a Jew and convert to Judaism? Like, anti-Semites are dumb enough not to notice something like that.
Well, we're going to go to the market, and when we come back, James is going to read the intro to the second hour and do a bang-up job. Right, James?
He'll read it for the second time?
Yes. We'll be ready this time.
And I'm going to go get some more kosher Coke. It's kosher for Passover. It's the best time.
What? We'll be back.
Yeah.
Kosher Coke?
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Thunderbolt.
This is the Freedom Fiends, LARPing our way through the Berkeley riots, spreading the Fiend Dynasty, throwing lightning bolts from atop Financial Beast Plaza, defending the Alpha Centauri region from Antifa and the alt-right. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
Sleep.
Wow. Illegal LARPing is going to be the hottest this year. So in this year.
That's what we're going to do. The political LARPing.
Yep. So, what's this? I did not hear anything about the story that we're going to be talking about. I'm burying the lead. I know it. But I just heard about it like yesterday morning. I just saw like a CNN thing on TV and I was like, wait, what's going on? Because no one's been watching CNN at my work now. The election's over, so I don't get to see it a lot. But I caught it on one of the TVs and I was like, wait, what's this murder? And then I kind of got told a little bit of it. So you probably want to fill me in a little bit more. What's been going on with this Cincinnati man, Ohio man? Doesn't have the same ring as Florida man, but yeah.
Well, I'm confused here. You're burying a lead here. I don't even know what you're talking about.
You're talking about the murderer in Ohio.
Oh, guy who live streamed or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really been paying too much attention to that. I've just seen a few memes for it, and that's about it. I haven't really been paying attention to what's going on with that.
Okay, so from what I understand, there was a guy who, I think he broke up with his girlfriend, or his girlfriend broke up with him, and I saw the video of the execution, and he basically walked up to this guy who was walking across the street and said, like, you know, like, I'm just going to start shooting people all Easter long.
Just a random guy?
It's a random, you know, older black man walking across the street with the bag full of stuff in the store, and walked up to him and asked him to recite the name of this girl. I forget the girl's name. It don't matter. Just leave her out of it anyway. And then he was like, why am I saying this for you? He's like, because she's the reason why this is going to happen to you. And he was like, what are you talking about? And he pulled his gun on him and he's like, oh man, come on, don't do that. And just shot him point blank in the face. He died instantly. And hopped back in his car, and he was like, this is going to keep happening because of you. And, you know, turned off the Facebook feed.
And so he said, how can they not track this guy down?
Exactly. There's been, like, he said that he killed 15 other people. I don't know if that's entirely true, but that's what he is claiming.
And he claimed that he did?
Mm-hmm. Over this weekend?
Yes.
And he's still out there, is that right?
Still at large. Last time I checked, I could probably look it up. I've been out of the loop.
Yeah, I haven't really been paying attention too much about it. I've seen some people talk about there's like $1 million bounty on him. I saw something like that. But I haven't really been paying too much attention to what this is all about because, I mean, I don't really like to worry about that kind of stuff. And it has nothing to do with me. I don't live in Ohio. I mean, I guess I'm in Michigan. He could come up to Michigan pretty close. But
you're right next door, yes. Yeah. You are. And if you're on, aren't they calling him the Facebook killer?
Yeah, the Facebook killer, as if like he killed a Facebook. I guess they're including Michigan in the wider. It's a national manhunt at the moment, but I guess they're really kind of focusing on Ohio. But Michigan is definitely on the lookout too. So yeah, maybe you should be paying attention to this.
Maybe
you're just gonna be walking up to people and killing them. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if he's gonna come kill you, he's gonna come kill you.
Yeah, he's gonna come kill you.
He's not really paying attention to it. It's not gonna prevent him from doing that.
Yeah, this is why I don't get all too crazy every time there's like one of these leaks from the NSA or something that says like, oh, look at what they can do to your phone and spy on you and know where you're at all times. It's like they can't even find this guy who just live streamed a murder almost immediately afterwards, right? I mean, like if they were spying on everybody all the time, like the only thing that protects us from being surveilled thoroughly is the government's incompetence. I think that's the only thing that's stopping them. So I'm not too worried, but at the same time, it's a tragic story, and
they should be able to track this guy down. I mean, with all the NSA spying programs that they have, not that those are good things, but obviously they're not working. Obviously, they're not working, so
I guess they need to double their budget. Yeah, they just need to double their budget and get more people.
What if this is what that's all about? Oh, tinfoil hat time.
Governments expand and governments get stronger because of their in any other kind of market, right? If I do a bad job at work, what happens? They fire me, they demote me, they cut pay, they suspend me. There's all these sorts of things where I get punished. It's bad. It's bad to not do well. However, if I work for the government and I do something messed up, well, that's just because I didn't have enough funding. I didn't have a better computer. I probably just need a promotion. I probably need to have more control and more outreach and more ways to infiltrate people's privacy, and that'll fix the problem. That's why I failed. People fail down in real life, but when the government, people fail upwards, right? I think that's fail. Yeah. So they haven't caught this guy, and all this is going to do is just say, well, we just need more money for the police and more money for the NSA and more money for all these spying programs. Then we would have found him, right?
Well, the trail has gone cold. They tracked him into Pennsylvania, or his phone into Pennsylvania, pinging his phone, I think they said it was. What are they going to do with him when they catch him?
Probably burn the cabin down that he's in. Is that too soon?
Yeah, but I don't think the comparison between him and Chris Dorner is quite fair.
No, no.
No, because Chris Dorner was defending our freedom. Too soon.
I don't know. I had to remember who it was. That wasn't too soon. It was too long. I'm old, so you know.
Oh,
take that into account.
Waited too long then.
Waited too long. Yes.
All right.
That was the guy in California, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was killing police officers. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to me.
Yeah, Chris Dorner was the guy. He wrote that he was trying to like report corrupt police, and then he ended up getting fired for it. So he went on his own little rampage. But so this guy, his girlfriend breaks up with him or something, and now this guy's going on a rampage.
Mm-hmm. He's Steve Stephens. Steve Steffens?
He was a mental health worker of some kind, I think.
Well, that obviously didn't pay off. Which is kind of weird. It really shows the kind of people that go into mental health, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. Hey. When I was in college.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I don't agree with that.
Where's Lou?
I have heard that people who go into the mental health field are looking for their own self-diagnosis, and I've heard that before. A lot of people who start studying psychology and whatever you want to call it, they're trying to figure out what's wrong with them, is what I've heard.
Well, yeah,
to that field.
If you are become very familiar, say, you know, you're a kid who gets to know his garbage man, I mean, you may want to become the garbage man. And if you're spending all your life in the shrink's office, maybe you become interested in that. It makes sense. Yeah. Same as the doctor's office or something like that. You do get interested in the things that you see around you, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at how many people take up old dad's career, whatever that might be. I didn't. My dad worked at Sears and Roebuck, so, you know.
That would have been a terrible choice.
Working for Sears?
Yeah.
Well, it was for him. He quit as soon as he could. Yeah. Went into business for himself. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
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 You can't... going into business for yourself is definitely the best way to go about it. But how do you do that, really? You could do that as a shrink. Sure you could.
Yeah. I mean, I did that after I quit being a prosecutor. I just opened up my own business and been doing that for the last dozen years. Mm-hmm. And, I really like it. It was the best thing I did. You know, after a while, between being in the restaurant business and being a prosecutor working for the state, I mean, I shoveled it for somebody else for, you know, 25, 30 years. I was ready to just stop it.
Yep. I can imagine.
You get tired of it. I think everybody must get tired of it sooner or later. You know, wow.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I think I really do want to work until I die. I really do. I mean, unless I'm like physically enabled to, I'm not going to be working like physical labor, but I definitely do want to be creating media and stuff in the future for the foreseeable future. I don't think I'll ever want to stop doing that.
That's different, but yeah. To be able to get to a retirement where you could really just say, I want to work, but I just want to do the stuff that I want to do, and I don't need to worry about, you know, making, you know, as much money as I needed back when I had to raise a family or things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't imagine not working for as long as I possibly could work until I was, you know, I don't know, if I'm sitting in a chair right now, I mean, how disabled would I have to be that I couldn't sit here and move my mouth? You keep working for a long time, I think. The mouth might not be the problem. The mind would go, perhaps, but...
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, a podcast with a senile libertarian, why not? We have senile young people doing libertarian stuff. Why not?
Well, having shots the same fired, show, man. I mean, I'd be on it with it. You'd have, you know, two guest hosts that don't know anything yet, and the third one who's forgotten everything. So,
yeah.
Oh, that would be tonight's show. Excuse me.
That's tonight.
This is the Senile Fiends broadcasting. Wait, where are we?
Senile Fiends.
Yeah. What time is it?
I don't know. I think that
am I in hell?
What am I doing? Where's my married?
Am I married? Do I have a wife? Who are you?
You know, it's not going to be very long between when there's an episode with Michael and Ben Stone and me on that the average age will probably be 60. It can't be that much longer. Because Michael, I think, is getting up there, too.
Yeah. And Ben Stone allegedly is going to be back.
Well, yeah, he was on a show a little while back. Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of driving your kids to G.G. Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where G.G. took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the G.G.est place on Earth. G.G. always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone. And that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire. And our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find G.G. Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating G.G. Allen's face.
Michael gonna make BIPCOT thongs.
That needs to be right now.
Yeah. I'm gonna contact my Chinese manufacturer friends and see what I can get done. Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
So speaking of murderers. Speaking of murderers, I guess we're supposed to feel sad about the government murderers. Serial executions take a toll on executioners too, critics say. Poor guys.
It's so hard on you after you killed like seven or eight people. You're going, man, I need a drink. Is that what this is about?
Well, I need a drink anyway, but so putting a prisoner to death. This is from Yahoo.
Yahoo
News. So
Yahoo.
I remember when Yahoo was a thing.
It was Yahoo, something like that.
The Yahoo is a whole lot better than the steam cleaner that I was talking about here in the break, who shall go nameless. So putting a prisoner to death, quote, stays with you for a long time, unquote, says Ron McAndrew, the former warden of the Florida State Prison, said his own mental health had begun to deteriorate by the time he left his position in 1998.
Fuck.
After taking
Florida State, you worms.
After taking part in 8 executions.
He's killed his share, hasn't he?
By the way, this isn't a Lulbert News Network satire article. This is a real article from Yahoo. Yeah, this is real. This is real. I know you're just probably used to hearing news from me and going, oh, that's fake.
No, it's real news for fake libertarians, right?
Yeah, real news for fake libertarians.
But no, this is real news.
Yeah, okay. So,
I don't know.
Yeah, so now McAndrew is fighting against the death penalty. He's particularly concerned about the psychological well-being of a handful of individuals who are involved in the who are involved if Arkansas were to proceed with the rapid fire execution of several condemned men, originally set for April 17th to the 27th. Courts in that southern state will have blocked those executions for now as legal appeals continue. So instead of feeling bad for the people who are going to be like killed by the state, I mean, I'm sure they probably did terrible things because that's what usually warrants a death penalty. But at the same time, I'm totally against the death penalty
So many wrongful convictions for that.
Right.
There's been so many post-death, reversals of convictions that have happened over the years. Juries get it wrong, people. Juries get it wrong.
Well, actually, there have been plenty of them before the person was executed. They tend not to be turned over after the execution occurs because, well, that's embarrassing.
But it has happened, though.
It has happened. It has happened when the proof comes out. But the problem is people stop the whole system.
After that,
yeah, the system doesn't keep working to exonerate someone who's dead.
But it doesn't matter that the people died. What matters is these poor people who killed them feel bad about it.
Aww. Well, they should.
I mean, it reminds me.
If you can kill someone and go home and sleep like a baby, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Was it a couple years ago that the military, which had these special combat awards, and there was a rule that you could only get these special medals if you were endangered in combat, and they had to find a way that they could give these nice awards to Predator drone operators who might be working out of a trailer in a gym's backyard or something. Mm-hmm. In Nevada, right? And these guys, they're just sitting there. They get up and come into work, and you know, the most dangerous thing they do is have to go through a stoplight that morning on the way to their killing trailer. Mm-hmm. And they started giving out these medals, changed the rules for giving out combat medals for people who were in less danger than you are when you go to work, because they felt like it was necessary to award them more, because, you know, it's hard to just kill people all day long, I guess, and some people are decent enough they eventually just want to eat their gun.
I don't know how
huge disconnect with, I think that the state executioner would probably be more, because they're state executioner, they probably work at the jail, right? They've probably interacted with the person they're going to kill before. It would be, I don't know, maybe not.
It'd be at one of the state prisons.
It'd be at one of the state prisons, and it'd be, I think, a little bit different than sitting in a trailer watching, you know, playing a video game, actually killing people like these drone operators do.
You can cover up all sins when you're just doing your job.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
I'm drinking a New York, original New York seltzer. The only good thing that ever came out of New York.
Did you say Jaywalkers or Jayhawkers?
No, original New York seltzer.
Oh.
Seltzer.
Yeah. Okay.
So back to this article, yeah. Like, I've been opposed to the death penalty even before I became a libertarian, because I was a stupid lefty. But that was one thing that stuck around with me, and I haven't heard a really, really good argument against it. And that's because, you know, the government's inefficient. You know, like, look, go to the DMV. Now imagine those people are the ones in charge of putting people to death, or deciding whether or not someone is deserving of death. No, 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 thank you. Absolutely no thank you. And just because they wear a robe doesn't make them any better than, you know, someone who wears a little name tag that says, "Hi, I'm Charisse. Welcome to welcome to desk number 7. Please leave a number or take a number."
Yeah, well, one of the problems is that there really are, you know, what I think are an unacceptable number of people that are wrongly convicted. In principle, I have a problem with the death penalty too, but frequently, when I see somebody's going to be executed in my state, I've got access to all the cases. I mean, I bring the cases up and I read them over, and I read over, you know, what all the evidence was and everything. And most of the time, I'll be honest with you, when I read what happened and what they did, you know, I can say, you know, in theory, I do oppose the government, the death penalty, but I'm glad that this guy is no longer walking the earth. Is that horrible of me? I don't know. But there are plenty of cases where people, and not just death penalty, but you know, serious other kinds of cases or murders that put people away forever, where there are police and prosecutors, you know, of all kinds, and you have some that really are interested in just what's true. You know, they would never want to get a guy who was innocent. And then there are other ones, you know, plenty of prosecutors that I've known that are just interested in winning. And there will be, they want to convict. Once they get their sights on you, it's done. Mm-hmm. They're going to get you. And of course, the temptation to withhold evidence is there. You're working up this big murder trial. Your whole mind and life is directed toward this
and
case.
And reputation?
To get your reputation, everything, to get this guy. And then what lands on your desk is a little piece, maybe some photographs or a lab report or some diary from someplace that raises a question about the guilt in the case. And you have the opportunity to bury it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only person who even knows it exists is maybe the cop that sent it to you, and he doesn't want it coming into evidence. And, you know, I know that there are prosecutors that do evidence that might get somebody acquitted because it makes the case less strong than it might be. And that happens, and you have people that are in there. You have people that are in prison because they got confessions coerced out of them. I've read the cases. I've worked on cases where it was very clear that the police, you could sit down and just kind of write down as the police question this guy who's kind of a below average intelligence, where they first feed the person all of the damning evidence against them, and then they get them to admit it and say it in their own words after they've fed them the information. Mm-hmm. And when you hold a guy for like 8 hours and he's not eating and he needs to go to the bathroom and his IQ is 85, and you tell him that you'll feed him and let him go to the John or go to bed if he'll just say X, Y, and Z, plenty of people will do that.
Yep.
And they'll be convicted of murder. And there are police out there that will do that, and there are some prosecutors that will tolerate that and take that to trial.
And for the win.
And they've got themselves a public defender who is either too overworked to put time in it or just plain too stupid to put on a good defense. And, you know, and I wouldn't tar all public defenders with that, but some of them really are just, as private attorneys, same thing with public defenders. Some of them are just too stupid to be handling any kind of case where there's anything at stake, but they're out there doing it anyway. And even the ones that are competent, they are overworked too. So bad things happen.
And prosecutors really have, well, not prosecutors, but the DA definitely does have an interest, an incentive to go after people, whether or not they're innocent or not, because they have to run for re-election. And if they go on a re-election and you know, their opponent says, hey, this guy's really weak on crime, while, you know, his opponent or his successor, his predecessor put away X amount of people, he only put in half as many people. Like, he's just letting all these criminals go. And look at this, look, there's crime that happened. Remember this guy that got shot? And so there's an incentive for the, you know, whoever's the DA at the time to find a way to get more people incarcerated so that when he runs, he doesn't have to run against that kind of argument, which gets brought up every time. It's always, I can get more people thrown in jail.
Yeah. Although some of the smarter ones, there are the pure politicians that think that if they're just super aggressive, they can make hay and ensure their reelection or higher office and that sort of thing. But frequently it will blow up in their face because nothing makes you look worse than losing the big high-profile case that you were counting on boosting your career. And so there are some prosecutors, and I've worked for them, ones that if there's anything weak about the case, they'll want you to get rid of it or even dismiss it, which I think is probably healthier. As far as society is concerned anyway. I mean, if the case isn't really strong enough to win it, then why are you going after this guy? Crapshoot. Maybe we'll get it.
Cases.
When I was a prosecutor, we refused more than 15% of all the cases that the police sent to us. We just toss them in the refusal pile, and we wouldn't do it. And of course, the cops they'd be up there, moaning and crying, if their case didn't get filed. Yeah, you could always tell how good a case was. If you have a good, strong case, fair case, they just send the folder over to your office and say, please file this. And you look at it and everything's in a row and you charge the guy with beating up his girlfriend. And then it's a set thing and it's a good case. But whenever the cops come through the door, whenever they bring you the file personally, there's something wrong with the case. And if two cops show up to bring you a case to talk to you about it, then the case is probably no good. The whole time I was a prosecutor, I think I never ever filed a case that had more than two cops accompany the file, and maybe once when there were two cops. And most of the time, as soon as you see a cop with the file in his hand, you got a guy here who's he's just lobbying. He hasn't got a case. It's almost always the way that it happens. They know their case is no good, so they have to come over and lobby for it. The cop that just puts together a good, solid case and sends it to you to prosecute, he doesn't need to come over with the thing. He just drops it on the pile and it comes over to you a day or two later.
The file should speak for itself, right?
Exactly. If you have to explain to me why this file shows that this guy committed this crime, then there's something wrong with the file. And I guess it could be that you're such a bad writer, so stupid in putting together a request for prosecution, then maybe you need to come over because you're only eloquent when you open your mouth, but that's not usually the case.
Maybe it's both. maybe it's a bad case and they're an idiot.
you get accustomed to reading. Cop report report speakers. What's that?
Are there cops that aren't idiots?
Oh well, sure. There's some. If you're not, I have to say that I bet plenty of cops that were absolutely honest and wouldn't dream of doing anything that wasn't by the rules. Now they were still perfectly happy to drop the charge on you for drug possession where you didn't hurt a living soul, but they'll get you. But there's one thing worse than somebody who who's just doing their job, and that's the guy who's not even doing their job. He's out there and he's even cheating according to the statist rules that have some protections in them and so the guy who actually follows the rules, a lot better to fall into that guy's hands than the one who just wants a victim on the end of his stick. Yeah. And that can be worse. And so, I feel like, I always want to distinguish between, there are the good cops and the bad cops. And now the cops that actually have a problem with the victim's crimes, what you end up calling them is former cops because they quit, like I quit. You start figuring the thing out, and then
the good cops are the ones that quit, though.
They quit. They do. The best ones actually do quit, and the ones that I know in there that are no good, if they don't get caught and fired, they don't quit. It's just, who would want them? I mean, other employers that might use them.
When you separate the wheat from the chaff, you're supposed to keep the wheat. It's like a system rigged to have just chaff, right?
Right, right. You can't make beer with chaff. You gotta have the grain. Yes, sir.
That doesn't seem like a good way to have things there. Yeah. You have all the ones that have actually a conscience are leaving. And leaving just the people with no conscience that had no problem beating someone down for a victimless crime.
Yeah. Now, one thing though, Jim, you were saying that you had a problem with the death penalty. You know, but is it just with the state, or do you feel that even in a stateless society, there would never be any justification for the death penalty? Say if somebody, murdered your wife or something.
Well, if someone murdered my wife and I was there and I seen it, and, I see him standing over my dead wife, and then, I'm going to shoot him. That's my death penalty. That's the death penalty I would agree with. But any other death penalty, no. Even if it was personalized, no. I mean, sure, it would sound really emotional to me, and it's really an emotional argument, but that's not an argument.
not an argument.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Redemption.
Off with his head.
there's been lots of LARP faking death and actually death in this.
That's right.
This thing. In this episode.
Well, we were feeling sorry for all of the poor.
Sorry to interrupt, but
we're feeling sorry for the poor executioners in Florida, and because it was hard on them psychologically, and I guess your finger gets sore if you push that button and kill somebody often enough. I don't know.
You get carpal tunnel from pulling the lever.
Just like George Jetson. These officers, they get to know these inmates, before they kill them. I bet you though, if you could, couldn't you bring in just some wino or something to push the button?
Here's a better idea. I think anybody who supports the death penalty should at least go through the process of going through one inmate. If they truly support it, they should pull the lever.
Oh, they would have a lottery for that. People would line up to do it.
You'd have some crazy people signing up.
Yeah,
you'd have a line down the street of people. I can't wait for the next one. Because people aren't. I don't think people are as inherently good as you think they are.
That's true. They would say they, but you could look at it like, if I knew I could do that, I wouldn't have to join the military.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Yeah. So long as they don't wear like an American beanie and have one of those stickers with Calvin miterating upon a Ford symbol, then they could be eligible for it, right?
Well, they'll just they'll take their hat off and take the sticker off the truck. Yeah. But yeah, the The thing is, I think there's a huge difference between, you know, revenge or justice and catching someone in the act or knowing someone did something and
crime, and getting
your revenge and punishing them, and what the state does. I think there's a huge difference between that. You know, it's really cruel and unusual the way that the state does this. And I understand that you can't do it the way for a justice system, you couldn't do it in the way, you know, you couldn't have the police just go and do summary executions on people. Yeah. So the only solution then is to abolish it outright, because we can't have the police just doing summary executions in the street, even though it seems that they very much so enjoy doing that lately. And, you know, you can't have the state also kidnapping these people and holding them for, you know, 10 years or whatever, depending on the state, I suppose. And, making them do slave labor for you for so many years. And then all of a sudden, you know, take you out back behind the woodshed and kill you. That's just cruel to do to somebody. You know, while they're trying to go through their appeals and stuff like that, they think they have a hope of living. And then, you know, it's just cruel the way they do that. It's very cruel.
Even if you knew that you wouldn't get off, it would be even worse, because you just know that I know exactly when I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. You know, like, not even a lot of cancer patients have that kind of luxury. Even if they were told, like, you have like maybe a couple more weeks to live, they don't know the exact date. But a lot of these people are basically dead men walking, and it's
psychologically a sad way to live.
It's purely
psychological, because the one thing that they do have that you and I don't have is that they're going to die a death probably 10 times easier than the one you and I will enjoy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just being put to sleep, you know, like a dog.
Well, actually, a lot of the lethal injection things that I've heard, that they say that it's even worse than electric chair and stuff, because sometimes the dosage doesn't work right, or the dosage doesn't actually do what it says it's supposed to do.
Well, that's true. And the problem that they have with that is they use that three cocktail thing. Yeah. And as long as they first sedate you to some level and then paralyze you, they can torture you for as long as they want until they do the third drug that stops your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of diabolical, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
Well, I think we're getting near the end of the show, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We got the redemption music playing, yeah.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
So what's the solution? Smash the state.
No prisoners were harmed in the making of this show.
And LARP against the nationalists and the Antifa.
Join the Spread dynasty. The Fiend Dynasty. The Fiend Dynasty.
Gentlemen, it was a pleasure.
100 years. 100,
thank you for having me with you tonight.
Even if it takes 9 seasons.